You are invited. You are invited to participate, body and soul. In fact, isn't that SI all over? Maybe on everything in SI we should write, you are invited to participate, body and soul. In fact, maybe it should be on everybody's birth certificate. You are invited to participate, body and soul. Look to this day, for it is life. The very life of life. Through its brief course run all the verities and realities of existence, the bliss of growth, the splendor of beauty, the glory of action. Yesterday is but a dream. Tomorrow is only a vision. Today, this hour, this moment, well spent, makes every yesterday a dream of happiness. And every tomorrow, a vision of hope. Look well, therefore, to this day. And now, for our district cheer. So our stories take us places. Our Unitarian Universalist story takes us places. When I first found out that I was going to be sharing with you for every morning worship, the first thing that came to mind is, oh, our stories. We need to tell our stories so that maybe someday our Unitarian Universalists will cheer as much for a picture of Michael Servetus as we do for Dumbledore. Or John Murray. Don't you just want to pinch his cheeks? John Murray was a great guy. He was a Brit, and I already love him. And the story that came to my mind when I thought John Murray, yeah, that story about John Murray, is not the real one that I want to focus on today. I want to focus on the conversion story of John Murray. Now, John Murray, as I said, was a Brit. He was wrapped up in the late 1700s in the whole Reform Church movement in Britain, and he has a conversion story that is always perplexed me, because I always heard that it was when he went and spoke to a young woman who he had heard had been exposed to the heresy of universalism. And so he went to try to move this woman back to the true church. And bottom line was, she got the better of him. She got the better of him because he was wrapped up in this predestination story that everyone is bound. Everyone is bound either to heaven or to hell. And that nothing can change it. And she said, but were you changed by the love of Jesus? Well, yes. But you said nothing could change your depraved state. Well, clearly, dear woman, you don't understand. Let's pray. And bid a hasty retreat. And then the coda of that story was that at that moment, he wished to have nothing more to do with universalists. But that's supposed to be the conversion story. But he didn't want to have anything to do with universalists after that. It went on. It went on. It went on through reading a tract from a very good, close theological friend of his and saying, wait a minute, this is against universalism, but what about this part? And what about that part? And what about this part? And so he sat and he read, and he sat with his wife. He read scripture. They read together. They sat. They prayed. Then he forced himself to go to a sermon of this famous universalist preacher named James Relly. And he went with great fear and trembling, but felt he needed to face this demon of a preacher. And he was moved. And he couldn't hear sermons the same anymore. And so he read his scripture with his wife. And he sat down with her. And he prayed. And then there was that moment when he was called before the church council. And he tried to explain to them what his understanding of the depth and breadth of God's love was. And they had to quit him of his church. He lost his respectability. He lost what were called gifts that became debts, because people in the church had lent him money, but he thought they had given him the money. So he went home. He read scripture. He sat with his wife. He prayed. He had to find that movement of the Spirit in the least likely of places, and in the everyday places too. And that was his long, drawn-out conversion story. And then his troubles began. His wife got ill. His debts overwhelmed him. In despondency after prison, he went to the New World, to America, where he swore never again to preach the gospel of universal salvation, of return of all souls to God. But then the wind died down on his boat. And this is when I wish I had, like, the Odds Bodkin. And there he was in New Jersey. It's the Garden State. Good luck, New Jersey. And there was a farmhouse there, and there was a chapel there. The chapel was largely empty because it was only occasionally filled because Thomas Potter had the vision of universal salvation, but he couldn't find anyone to preach it.
So the story goes.
And in walked Jonathan Murray. Thomas Potter found out that he was a preacher of universal salvation. But no, no, John said, I'm not going to do that anymore. I did that back in the old country, and look what happened to me. I ended up in New Jersey. No, Thomas said, the winds will not rise until you preach in my pulpit. Jonathan said, yeah, right. So he waited. And waited another day. And waited another day and said, okay, all right, okay. I will preach in your pulpit. And he preached his universal salvation gospel. And then up came the wind so that he'd go to where he wanted to go. But that was, mercifully for us, not the last time he preached his gospel of universal salvation, his gospel of the God of love. It was not the last time, but only the first time that he preached his gospel on the continent of America. His gospel hope was that God's love ultimately would overcome all. And that if we but knew that, if we knew that and lived it in everything we did, if we could always listen for love's call, then we would be a people transformed. And Christianity would be a religion transformed. And this world would be a world transformed if we could all but answer the question, that universalist question, what is love calling me to do? What is love calling me to be? What is love calling me to become? The beauty of John Murray's story is the way love showed up in his life. This long, methodical, prayerful, reflective, communal conversion is much different than another famous conversion you might have heard about that had to do with a road to Damascus and falling off a donkey. And like that, this man who had persecuted Christians became one of the most avid and fervent Jesus followers. Now, I'm all for psychological breaks. Even a little decompensation once in a while. But I just wonder if that might be one of the differences. That kind of guilt-ridden, judging personality conversion resulted in an institution whose watchwords are guilt and judgment. And the character of a church founded in part by one who, through reflection and prayer and study and community, and sitting with his wife, resulted in a church whose watchwords are love, compassion, justice, and mercy. love over tradition, whether it's Servetus's three gods or Murray's predestination, double predestination, some below, some above. Murray turned that into a single predestination. All are destined to be welcomed back into the arms of love. What is love calling me to do or be or become? How do I stand in the light of love? How am I called to dance in the presence of God? How am I called to march and sing and parent and play and learn and grow and work and run committee meetings in the light of God? Love, divine principle, animating life force, that's why I'm glad to be alive. And maybe some of us are willing to give those the name God, if only in song, and if only in Swahili.
To rise as you're willing and able, and join us in the singing. The choir will start us off with the Swahili words, Siahamba.
We are dancing, dancing, we are dancing. Siahamba kukanyen kwenkos.
Kukanyen kwenkos. Kukanyen kwenkos. One, two, three.
Siahamba kukanyen kwenkos. Siahamba kukanyen kwenkos. Siahamba kukanyen kwenkos. Siahamba kukanyen kwenkos. Siahamba. Amba siahamba. Amba siahamba.
Because the SI is a participatory engagement, I asked a few months ago for a call for people to share their stories, and Michelle Buchheit, who is a Unitarian Universalist seminarian, agreed to share her story with what makes her say, and that's why I'm a Unitarian Universalist.
Well, I was on the road to Damascus, no. I love hearing people's conversion to Unitarian Universalism stories. And how many times have you heard or maybe said yourself, oh, I walked into the Unitarian Universalist Church and I felt like I was home. Yeah, that wasn't my experience. The year was 1989. I was approximately 27 months pregnant with my daughter. Perhaps I exaggerate, but it feels that way. And another couple and us were looking for a church home. We'd all been raised in various conservative places, and we wanted a church community, but without some of that baggage. So we had been church shopping together. And this was the coming Sunday when we were going to visit the Unitarian Church, which at that time in that town had just one name. I didn't even know there were Universalists. It was amazing. So that morning, that couple said, oh, we can't make it. My husband said, I'm really tired. And so I put on my bravery coat and went by myself. And I knew the speaker that Sunday, and so I thought, well, even if I don't know anybody else, I can at least talk to him. So after the service, I sat alone during the service, and after the service, there was a talk back, which I had never encountered, and so I kind of got into the spirit of the thing and screwed up my courage and made a comment, and there was a long time, sort of the matriarch of the church, sitting in the front row. She's from France, and the longer she lives in America, the more French she becomes, and you just need to know that because I do a splendid French accent, which I will now do. She used English words, but I'm going to use French words in deference to our audience. So when I made my comment about how I thought it was wonderful to be in a group of people who cared about the future of our planet as a living system, she turned around and said in a loud stage whisper to the person behind her, "That is such merde." I couldn't even make words. We're in church, and I'm a guest, and you're so not nice. And no one stood up and said, now, now, we mustn't speak that way. And no one came up to me in coffee hour and said, well, sometimes she's just this way. No one came up to me in coffee hour at all. And so after kind of rattling around for about 10 minutes, I left. And as I was relaying my experience to my husband when I got home, I realized I was going back. because the mean people don't get to win. And I knew that probably there was some love in there. And probably if I could be part of that, we could find it. And that even in our flawed selves, that there was love. But it was a UU miracle that I went back. And it was a UU miracle that I joined. And it's a UU miracle I'm studying for ministry. So that's my story. So.
That all relationships would be transformed. All communities would be transformed. The world itself would be transformed. That sounds like SI. At its best. That sounds like us at our best. I hope that sounds like your church at its best. Our spiritual practices, whether they're every week or once a year for a week, our spiritual practices are designed to put us in the best frame to hear love's call. Because when your friend takes your toy away without asking, love calls. When you're arguing with your parents, love calls. When you're living through a bitter breakup or divorce, love calls. When you feel like you have no friends, love calls. Amid the throes of a scary diagnosis, love calls. When you get another rejection letter from the colleges you've been applying to, love calls. When you are facing another round of unemployment checks and you're listening to see what Congress is going to do next, love calls. When the earth is literally hemorrhaging because of our short-sightedness and bottom-line mentality, love calls. When your village is laid waste by the latest junta, love calls. When you are at your wit's end, love calls. And in health and wealth, love calls. Although I heard a story once about how it's a little harder to hear when you're wealthy, but that's another story. And yes, when death comes near, love calls. We listen to love and dance and march and sing and pray and work in the light of God in part because the wisdom of the ages have told us so. And in part because our experience of life, when we have had those moments of real love, tells us so. Real love heals. Real love makes us more whole, makes our communities more whole, makes the planet more whole. Oh, and it's not the Hallmark chocolate kisses, gushy, fuzzy rabbit kind of love. At least not all the time. It's the love that calls at 2 o'clock in the morning in a slurred voice, asking for a ride home. It's the love that screams through your lungs at your parents when you're trying to get them to pay attention to you in the way you need them to pay attention to you. It's the love that sobs through your private bitter tears to cut yourself some slack. It's love that rises through the stench of a dying loved one who reaches out her hand, maybe for the last time. It's love in the decision of the abused spouse to say to herself or himself, this has got to stop. Our faith, our hope, our reason for being is that there is more love somewhere. And we're not only going to keep on until we find it, we're going to keep on until we make it so. John Murray, we are still listening to love. Like for you, it may show up in the most unusual of places or in the everyday. Love calls, please, for God's sake, for your sake, for humanity's sake. Take the call. Don't hang up.
I'd once again like to teach you this song, so I go, then you go.
You've got the light of love inside you.
You've got the light of love inside you.
Go on your way in peace.
Go on your way in peace.
So shine that light, this whole world now awaits you.
So shine that light, this whole world now awaits you.
Go on your way in peace.
Go on your way in peace.
You know we hold you.
You know we hold you.
We hold you.
We hold you.
Yes, we hold you.
Yes, we hold you.
Let's sing together.
You've got the light of love inside you. Go on your way in peace. So shine that light. This whole world now awaits you. Go on your way in peace.
You know
we hold you.
We hold you.
Yes.
Sit and listen to the post.
Oh, thank you. Well, now we gotta do the two-handed thing. Well, I had difficulty, and so I thought I could avoid that, but no. Excellent. Can you hear me now? Excellent, thank you. Do they seem to be working fine, the hearing things? Very good. And in the up here, we had heard that, okay, sound is good? Excellent. Because we had gotten reports that people were having difficulty hearing up there as well, so this is good news. When I was in middle school, I wore clothing from Goodwill. We were on food stamps, but that didn't matter to me because I knew that I had my mother's love. There was unquestionable, it was unshakable. Anything else that went on around me didn't matter. So love is powerful. Love is the answer. And so thank you for your message this morning. It was touching. And I have no major announcements. So, go and enjoy the day. It's supposed to be about 82. We get thundershowers every once in a while. This evening's supposed to cool off to about 62, and we do have an announcement. A shout-out. Awesome. It's not a shout-out. Because we can't...
Well, you know, we're a peaceful, loving person, but I'm going to ask you to move over.
Are you a peaceful, loving... A peaceful, loving person?
Okay. I am. I'm very much so.
Very good. Thank you.
Hey, I want to make announcement or plea. I'm organizing the Habitat of Humanity. A lot of people have... Okay. A lot of people have requested that we do something service-related while we're here at SI. So I took it upon myself... contacted the Knox Habitat of Humanity and said, hey, you know, we got this huge group of people here. We're service-oriented driving. We're social justice. You know, surely can we help you? I have gotten one person today to help me with Habitat Humanity. I have one person tomorrow. They have two homes here they would like us to help them with. And it's just from 1 to 4. There's some painting, there's some cleaning, there's, if the weather permits, maybe some landscaping. But I would like us to sort of practice what we preach and to look me up if you're interested or to take the time. And I know this is a lot of fun to be here, but you know, it's also fun to be there at Habitat. Yesterday we had a great time. There was 4 of us. And I would just like people to take time to think about that and look me up and... be willing. My name's Tracy Steinbrenner. Thank you, Miss Rhoda Heffer. Well, we meet outside at 12:30 at the dinner after the cafeteria.
Pierce Hall.
And we carpool together to go there. But I'm just asking people, you know, if you want to look me up and let me know ahead of time, because they do need to have a number count of how many people are going to be attending. So if you're interested in today, please talk to me this morning so I can let them know. But I do have a sign-up list out in Pierce Hall. But I would like to see more than one person a day signing up. Thank you.